Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, a familiar passage of Scripture quoted so often. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Somebody went before us. We're not blazing any new trails. Somebody's gone before us. There's nothing new under the sun, according to the Lord. But we have an example to follow. We have a great cloud of witnesses. So he said, seeing that we have such a great cloud of witnesses, we're going to follow their example. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a destination. There's a finish line. There's somewhere we're headed. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. On this walk, nobody else is writing your story. He is. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to talk to you for a few moments today on this thought, the perfect fit. Perfect fit. We like the perfect fit. You don't want to wear clothes that are just too big for you. We want the perfect fit. You don't want to be too tight. We want the perfect fit. We want the perfect fit with whatever car we drive, whatever house we live in, whatever dog you bring to your house, whatever spouse that you end up with, you want the perfect fit. Well, we can have that in the Lord today. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your presence that we feel already, and thank you for what you're doing in this hour. We just give you glory. And God, let us hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Let us just have understanding. Let our hearts be good ground that the Word could find root and produce in our lives. And we want to be better, Lord, all of us. We want to be better, be more like you. We want to be ready to meet you when you come. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap for his word before you're seated. Hallelujah. Thankful for his word. Thankful for what he's doing. The perfect fit. God is so mindful of us. I think this goes without saying that we are his most prized creation. We are precious in his sight. Even in death, Scripture says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He created man in his own image. And then he placed him in the garden, placed him in paradise, and gave him a job to do. There's no doubt the love, the care, the concern that God has for our life, just looking how he took care of the first man that he created. God is always there. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He's always providing. He said he would provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And he is always, according to Hezekiah, ready to save. The Scripture says that God has purchased us with his own blood, and that he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and desires for us to sit in heavenly places. We have a purpose in this life. Jeremiah 29 and 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God did not create man without purpose. And guess what? You weren't born into this world without purpose. You have a purpose in this world today. The scripture says that God created the earth to be inhabited. He had a purpose for mankind. He would tell them to produce and multiply and inhabit the earth and fill the earth. He had a purpose for what man was going to do in this world. He gave Adam purpose, tend the garden, take care of these things and follow my word. Jesus has a purpose for you and me. He wants us to be part of the church. He wants us to be part of the body. The scripture says that we are complete in him. We have purpose. Now let me tell you, there's two words that can go along with purpose that we don't like to hear. Unfulfilled or unrealized. Sometimes our purpose is going unfulfilled. That's not God's fault. Sometimes our purpose is unrealized. Still not God's fault. God gave us purpose in this life. I've told people many times that if you want to know the will of God for your life, then just look in this book, because the will of God is in the Word of God. And for you and I, how we can live in this life before he comes again, what we can do to be saved, anything we need to know about living is here, because he came to give us life. Anything we need to know about living comes from him. We live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we want to fit, it's going to be according to the word. Hello? Praise God. God created us in his image. And just this little short passage we read this morning, realizing that there is a journey, a destination, a race to be run, and a way to run it. Not just any way we want to, but he said, since we have people who have run it before us, let us lay aside every weight, sin that does so easily beset us. Lay aside. Set it apart. Get rid of it. Lay it aside. Let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, never taking my eyes off the one who called me, never taking my mind off the one who loved me and gave himself for me, never ignoring his voice, never ignoring that unction from the Spirit, always looking unto Jesus, because he is building a church. He is the head of the body. And we are baptized into one body by his Spirit. Paul would say this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, in verse 13. He said that we should all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. It's not God's will. The purpose in our life is not to be cast around by every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. He said, but speaking the truth in love, he wants us to grow up into him in all things. Into him and all things. I want to grow up in him in all things. I want to be like him in everything I do. I want to be like him in the way I approach others. I want to be like him in the way I love people. I want to be like him in the way I treat others. And I want to show mercy and compassion and love. I want to be the perfect fit in that body. I want to fulfill my purpose. I don't want it to go unrealized in this life. He said, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together. Fitly joined. Perfect fit. From whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part has a purpose, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Increase of the body. The body is always growing. The body of Christ is always growing, and every new member has purpose. Praise God. Don't think you came into something that you don't have no purpose in. Don't think that you're part of you just got a membership to something that don't include you. You've got a purpose in the body. God has designed us to be part of his body, to be here and to do things for him and for his kingdom. God is a great builder. He said it would be fitly joined together. He's a wise master builder. He knows how to put it together. I've seen carpenters in the real world that they build things and they're not fitly put together because they move. I was working in a house one time, a two-story house. I was pre-wiring a home for an alarm system, and it was a two-story house, and it was nothing but the studs on the inside. The electrical had been put in, but nothing else in there. And I was in this two-story house, and I said, man, this house looks like it's beat up. And the guy, this contractor came in the road. He said, you know why this house looks like it does? He said, a week ago it fell flat. He said it was studded up just like this, and the wind came by and blew it flat to the ground. I said, I'm getting out of here quick before this thing falls again. But he said, yeah, there were two men in here working when it fell. He said, they saw it start. He said, the whole house started leaning like that. He said, they dove out a window and got out. But that house wasn't fitly framed together. But this thing that God's building, it's fitly joined together. He said, I'm building a church on this foundation. He said, it's so strong that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That's the church that you're going to be a part of. That's the church that you belong to. That's the church that Jesus gave his life for you and I to be a part of. He wants us to be a part of something. Not just be a member of an organization, not just be a member of a congregation, but to be part of the body. I'm thankful for our organization, and I am so thankful for our congregation. But friend, I am so thankful that we are part of something mind-blowing bigger than what we could ever figure out. The body of Christ. I know that our young people got a little taste in Indianapolis this week, sitting in the middle of 40,000 people praising God. I've been there, so I know what it's like. Let me tell you, it's something. But it's good to see that it's not just inside these four walls in this church in Winterville, Georgia, but all around this world, people are calling out to God, and people are being baptized into the body, and people are being fitly joined into this body that Jesus is building. But for us to fit, we go back to our first scripture. Sometimes we must lay aside some things if we're going to fit into the body. You know, you look at this woodwork behind us here, some of these boards, and you see them, they're put together, they're nailed in, they're tight, they're not going anywhere. The guy that did this, he does good work. But he didn't buy those boards that size. They had to be fit. They had to be cut. They had to be measured, cut, and placed in there so they would fit perfectly. So you wouldn't have one big long board and then one short board and one gaps and spaces and things, nothing not working, nothing not looking right. He measured everything. He took time. He would sometimes measure and cut and then measure and cut again to make sure that it was right. If you were building a house and you were building 8-foot walls, you got one stud left. I need an 8-foot stud. Well, all you got is a 10-foot. Well, you can't wedge it in there. It's got to be the perfect fit. And so a wise builder, a good builder, will measure and say, this is what this piece of wood doesn't need to fit, to fulfill its purpose in this house. Sometimes God's going to measure you and I. In Revelation, he told him, he said, measure the worshiper. Sometimes we're going to be measured so that God can see this is what you don't need so that you can fit in. Many times we're always saying, God, what do I need to do? Sometimes, Lord, what do I not need to do so I can fit in? Just like these boards are purchased, we were purchased with his blood. It was purchased at this length, but it had to be cut and measured to fit and be what it needed to be. Sometimes, even though we've been purchased, God don't want to leave us the way he purchased us. He bought us in our sin. He bought us in all our mess. But he says, I can't fit you in the body like that. He loves you like you were, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. And he'll take you just like you are. But he says, if you'll let me, I'm the potter, and I can begin to work on you. He has no intention of leaving you the way that he found you. And if he does, then he's changed. But the Bible says he changes not. But he didn't find nobody in the scripture that he just left them the same. Bartimaeus, was blind, but he wasn't when Jesus got through. The man at the pool of Bethesda was lame, but he wasn't when Jesus got through. Come on, somebody. Lazarus was dead, but he wasn't when Jesus got through. Mary had seven demons, but she didn't have them when Jesus got through. He was always finding people that he wanted in the body. He said, but I can't fit you in like this. A sculptor can take a piece of stone, granite, marble, whatever it is, and you only begin to see what it is as he begins to take away. With every hit of the hammer and the chisel, a piece flies off and a little more detail appears. At first, you can't tell what it's going to be, but as he continues to chip away, and things begin to fall off, and that piece of granite or stone or whatever it is, it's not the same size it was when he bought it. But now you can see the detail. You can see the masterpiece. You can see the work of his hand. You can see what he was thinking in his mind as he worked on it. And if we will let God, who is the potter, and we are the clay. Some of you that work with clay, you know that you may start out with a lump, but it ain't all there when you get done. The vessel that you make is just a portion of what you started with, but you've got to remove some things. You've got a vision in your mind, what you want it to be, and I got to take this out, and I got to take that out, and I got to scrape this and do this, and finally, I've got what I wanted. And that's what God is saying to us, that we've got to lay aside some weight. We got to lay aside some sin. We got to get rid of some stuff that's setting us back, because God knows the thoughts he thinks toward you, and he bought you and was ready and willing to purchase you and I just like we were. But he said, I'm not going to leave you that way. If you'll let me, I'll work on you. If you'll let me, I'll begin to chip away at those things that are tearing your life up, those things that are keeping you unsettled, those things that are keeping you chained down. I'll begin to work on you, and then slowly but surely you'll begin to see what I see in you. I could never understand what God saw in me. Many times I have prayed and said, Lord, I don't know what it is you saw. I don't know why you would have wasted your time on me, but he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's a finisher. He can take things. I've said, you know, in this world today, people love to repurpose. They'll take pallets and build decks. They'll take pallets and they could build tables and make all kind of furniture. Man, it was real big. I don't know if it's still as big as it was, but it got real big there for a while. Everybody was looking for pallets. Keep you in business, Brother Al. They'd be going behind the grocery stores. Pallets that carried produce or milk or canned goods. Can I have them pallets? What you going to do, have a bonfire? No, it used to be we just wanted pallets for bonfires, but now they want to build houses with them. And sheds and tables and furniture and they're repurposing, they're taking it and you can't just take it like it is. They begin to sand it and they begin to take a board out and add a board here and do some things and begin to fix it and repurpose it and make it. And that's what God did with us. He repurposed us. He took us just like we were, but he said, "Woo! I got a vision." The Bible says his ways are higher than my ways, and I know they are, and my thoughts are not his thoughts, and I know they're much higher than mine. And when he looked at me, I could not see what he saw. But he knew if he'll just let me work on him, if he'll just let me get some things out of his life. We know I mentioned earlier the scripture says we're complete in him, and often we think of completeness as what we've gained, what we've added. But in this walk with God, being complete is what we let go of. We think completion, well, that means addition. That can be true sometimes in the natural. There's some things that we need to be complete. But sometimes we've got to be ready to lose something so we can be complete in him. And once those things are removed, then we see and we really realize, we recognize that those things that we thought were so precious to us, that made us something, were just good for the scrap pile. I remember when they were working on this platform and this thing, I walked in here and there was a big pile of wood, just little short pieces and nothing usable. But they came off of boards that were now making things beautiful. Those boards that were cut gave support. They were too long. They wouldn't fit, so they had to be trimmed. And then they fit just perfect and gave the strength that we need to jump and shout and dance around. They were, you're cutting it off, but it's making it beautiful. It's giving it strength. It's giving it purpose. So when God's beginning to move stuff out of your life, He's just simply trying to get you to be the perfect fit. And sometimes for that to happen, you have to be ready to lay some things down. In Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16. I want to go to verse 24. Jesus said to His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." That sounds good, God. I'll do that. Well, hold on. I'm not done. "For whosoever will save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for My sake, that's where you'll find it." You're going to find your purpose in the losing. When you begin to lose yourself, lose that flesh, lose that carnality. When you begin to lose those things that you thought were so dear, but if you'll just lose yourself, you'll find the life that Jesus wants you to have. He said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his life or lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What a principle. Get rid of what's not needed so I can be perfect. We're trying to add stuff to us. I got to add more prayer. I got to add more studying. And we ought to pray. We ought to study. We ought to do all those spiritual things. But sometimes there's some principles in the Scripture that are a little more uncomfortable, and those are the ones we ignore. Laying aside weights. Sometimes entertainment becomes a weight. I know. Sometimes that entertainment becomes a distraction, and then it becomes a weight because it becomes such an important part of your life. We get invested in entertainment. We get invested in hobbies. We get invested in those kind of things, and there's nothing wrong with things in their place. But when they begin to eat up your time, when you can remember more of what you just watched last week than what you read last week in the Scripture, if you can remember what your favorite character in your show did last week, but you can't remember what the preacher preached last week, we're heading into some dangerous territory. It's time that we get comfortable with these kind of principles. I need to lay aside some weights, and I need to lay aside some sin that does so easily beset me. I know that's how did we get on this? What a principle. But He said, if I can just have it all, I'll be complete. I'll be perfect. But He said, what would it profit you if you could gain the whole world? The Scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, if you could have all of that, what would it profit you if you lost your soul? If you had every physical thing, every emotional thing, all those needs are met, you feel like, well, I've got it all, but you lose your soul. Or what will you give in exchange for your soul? A lot of people say it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. Just do what you want to do. You'll be all right. But Jesus said right here that people are exchanging their life for things of this world. People are trying to gain all they can in the world, but they're going to lose their eternal soul. What will you give in exchange for your soul? Sometimes you got to get rid of something so you can be made perfect. You got to lose some stuff so you can find the life that God wants you to have. You can't see it clearly because there's too much stuff in the way. You can't hear His voice clearly because there's too much noise going on in your life. It's time to start laying aside some things so I can be the perfect fit in this body that he came to create. You know, in creation, God saw Adam. He said, it's not good that he's alone. That's right. He's going to add to him. But before he could add to him, he had to take from him. He said, he needs a mate. He needs a wife. He needs to have somebody. But before I can, I'm not just going to create her out of anywhere. I'm going to, for him to be complete, I'm going to take a rib from his body. I'm going to take something out. Now, the image of husband and wife, Paul said in Ephesians, was is Christ in the church. So he said, to make this image of the groom and the bride of Christ and the church, I'm going to have to take something out of this Adam. I'm going to have to take away from him so I can make it perfect. Listen, Adam could never be a husband unless he lost a rib. He had to lose something to get what he needed. God said it's not good for him to be alone. He needs a helpmeet. He needs that. And so to have that, for Adam to be the first husband, he was the first one to show us you're going to lose something to get what God's trying to create in your life. God's trying to give you something that'll help you. God's trying to give you something that'll make you whole. He's trying to give you something that'll make you complete. But until you are ready to lay down and lose something for it, we've got to be willing to lay aside. We've got to be willing to become a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Come on, somebody. I want to be that perfect fit. I don't want to be trying to wedge myself into the kingdom. I want to be, if I have to be measured, then God measure me. And if I have to be trimmed off, Lord, then trim it off. But whatever it is, just get it out of my, if it's going to keep me from fitting into the kingdom. I don't care about fitting into the world. I don't care about that because the world's going to pass away. There'll be a new heaven and new earth one day. All this stuff's going away. One day it won't matter. But what will matter is, did I fit into the kingdom? Did I fit to the kingdom? Did I let God work in my life? Did I stay on that potter's wheel? Did I stay there where he was molding and shaping and doing all he needed to do? I've got to lay aside every, quit holding on to your favorites. Lay aside every weight. But we hold on to our favorites. And if you don't think that we all battle with that, we all battle with that. I'm preaching to myself today. We're all trying to be better. We're all trying to strive to get in. We all want to make that day where he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be there. I've got to do that. But until I can let him work on me, I've got to lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset me. You know, that word beset means a competitor. That's like, the word is thwarting, coming against a racer on every side. There's going to always be something competing for your attention, for your time, for your consecration, for your devotion. There'll always be somebody to challenge and to compete for what you've got. That's why you got to be careful where you go, who you hang out with, what you watch, what you listen to, because in every single one of those instances, there's a voice competing for your consecration, for your devotion to God. It was a voice in the garden. Hath God said? Hath God said? Competing against what God had said. Competing against the promise and competing against the command, do not eat of that tree. But hath God said? Did you really hear that? They could have looked and said, well, I'm still alive, I guess his word works. I haven't eaten of it. Nothing bad's happened. But when they took that fruit, then they saw what God meant. I'm telling you, be careful of what you hear. Be careful of what you watch. Be careful of where you go. Be careful of where you hang out and who you hang out with. I'm not talking about isolating ourselves into a compound. We're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I love people, and they, even if, whether they come to here to church or not, I don't care. I still love people, I'm telling you, but you can't get hung up and involved and entangled in the affairs of this life. I gotta lay aside weights, see, because there's somebody competing. You better know that if Satan desired Peter to sift him as wheat. Nobody ever told Peter that before he come to God. It was after he got the keys. Satan didn't want Peter the fisherman. He didn't care about him. But when he got keys to the kingdom, Satan has desired to have you and sift you as wheat. And you know what? You didn't have no problems with the enemy before you come to God. He was there, but he didn't have to worry about you as long as you was going the wrong way. But now that you've been born of the water and born of the Spirit, and that you can see the kingdom and enter the kingdom, that you can pray a prayer of faith and see people change, he does not like that, and he wants you. He is competing for your time and for your attention. He wants your worship. If he would tempt Jesus in the wilderness, if you'll fall down and worship me, don't you think that he'll try to get you to fall down and worship him? And he'll promise you the world. All these things I can give you if you'll fall down and worship me. But then I won't fit. I want to be that perfect fit for the kingdom of God. I want to do it. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 21, Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler. Jesus looked at him, loved him. This is why I love this verse. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing you lack. Even though he knew he lacked, he loved him. Just because you're not where you need to be yet or have everything you need, God loves you in your lack. Now we're thinking, well, if I lack it, God didn't give it to me. But his lack was not in what he could gain because he had great possessions. Jesus said, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come take up the cross and follow me. But we know the story. It says he went away sad because he had great possessions. His lack was that he could not let go. And because he could not let go, he could not follow. Because he could not let go, he could not take up that cross. Because he could not let go, he could not go where Jesus wanted him to go. And because of that, he forfeited treasure in heaven. He chose treasure on earth rather than treasure in heaven. Sometimes you got to lay it aside so that you can be complete in him. His lack was his inability to let go and to lay it aside. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul was a man that said, I know about letting things go. In Philippians 3 and 7, he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He wasn't talking about, I'm just getting rid of stuff so I can fit in with the disciples or with the apostles and I can be part of this little group or little congregation. He said, I'm laying this stuff down for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Yes. And then in verse 9, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I don't care what good it's done me in this world. If I've got to lay it down to get closer to Jesus, then Lord, help me to lay it down. If all this doing is giving me a reputation and a name or riches in this world, then God, help me to lay it down. Because I want to be closer to you. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be what you called me to be. Colossians 2 and 10, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. There's nothing that you'll ever gain to yourself in this world that can compare to being in him. complete in Him. I know that flesh and blood, the Scripture says, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But I want to be in the kingdom. I know that unrighteousness cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but I want to be in the kingdom. Then that means I may have to let go of some things. I'm not much longer. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, don't you know that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He said, and such were some of you. But what happened? They were washed. When you wash, things come off. Stuff gets off of you. Wash, you get rid of dirt and grime and mud and things and stuff. And it just goes away. You're losing something. And when we're washed in the blood of Jesus, the weight of our past life is washed away. The blood of Jesus is applied and we are washed. The Scripture says to be white as snow. We are washed and now we are sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We were washed and something was taken out of our life, our past, those weights, those sins that were so easily besetting us, keeping us out of the kingdom are now gone and we can now see and enter into the kingdom according to John 3. In Acts 2:38, Peter preached his message. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But he preached repentance because that's what Jesus told him to preach in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. He said, go and preach repentance and remission of sins in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance, cutting some things off, getting some things out, turning our life around so we could be the perfect fit. Jesus was so intent on nothing hindering our fit that he would tell us this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 and 30. If your right eye offends thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. In verse 30, if your right hand offends you, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now Jesus is not telling us to mutilate ourselves. We know that. But if our eyes are looking in places they don't need to look, and we need some correction there. We need to take that carnality out of our eyes and get rid of it so we don't look at those things anymore. And he doesn't want you to cut your hand physically, remove your hand from your body. That's not what he's after. But he said, if your hand is reaching for things that are not like the kingdom, if they're reaching for things that are unprofitable for you, that it will only be a weight and a hindrance, then you need to cut that hand of carnality off. We do that in repentance, because repentance is where the old man goes to die. The water is where he goes to be buried. This is Romans chapter 6, and I'm not going to go there and read it, but you can read it in Romans 6. The old man dies and he's buried in the water. We were buried with him in baptism, the Scripture says, and we come up to walk in the newness of life. That's how we become a perfect fit. We are baptized into the body by one Spirit. We can't keep holding on to things that offend God. Listen, there's one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if that same Spirit that raised Christ up dwell in me, over and over again it tells us, he's in here. He dwells in here in this body. So if it offends him, it should offend me because he's here inside of me. I can't hold on to the things that offend him and think it'll be all right. I I can't continue in things that offend him and think it's going to be all right. I can't keep reaching for things that offend him and think it'll be okay. It's not his will that any perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's the way. When Jesus told his disciples, you can stand with me, in John 14, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place so that where I am, you can be also. He said, I'm going to get a place ready so you can be there. He said, I'm getting it ready, and then you'll come and fit in. And he said, and the way I go, you know, there's a way to go to get to that place that Jesus is preparing. And the writer in Hebrews said, if we're going in that way, if we're running in that way, then we got to lay aside, measure, cut, get rid of whatever's keeping me from being a perfect fit for the kingdom of God. Can I tell you this today? And I'm not the new kid on the block. I've been around a while. And so I think I learned a little bit. I've got some gray hair to prove it. Can I tell you something, young people, especially young people? You'll be better off without it. There's a lot of things that we experience when we're young. We think, oh, I got to have it. I can't live without it. But you'll get older and learn you can. You'll be better off without it. And you'll be that perfect fit for the kingdom. You'll be that perfect fit. You'll be able to see what God really has for you. You'll see that purpose. It won't be unfulfilled, and it won't go unrealized when you let God work in your life. When you let God begin to remove some things and take some things, lay aside those weights. Lay aside that sin that does so easily beset us. And if you want to get into that day, if you don't know the Lord today, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, the scripture tells us to be baptized in his name for the remission of sins past. So we're baptized in his name, and everything from that point, the blood is applied and it's washed away when we're baptized in the name of Jesus. And he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God coming to live inside of us. And we are baptized into one body by one Spirit. And we are now adopted, the scripture says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness that we are the children of God.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.